It's time to get down to business with $30 a month business internet. WOW Business offers 99.9% network reliability so that you can keep your business moving. $30 a month gets you 30 megabytes per second with 24/7 US-based support, a price lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee. Lock in our lowest priced offer for the support you need. Go to switchtowellbusiness.com. Offer for new customers with a 2-year agreement subject to change. Prices do not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Ancient Warfare Answers. As you can see, I'm on my own, so it's really Murray's Ancient Warfare Answers. Another 10-minute fix of your ancient warfare burning questions to fill your week for ancient warfare. Of course, we can answer questions from people via email, via message, via Patreon, via snail mail, if you like. And you too can ask a question. You can support us on Patreon. Just go to the website / Ancient Warfare Podcast. And there's three different levels at which you can back us. Now, the first question we have is, we are told right before the Great Illyrian Revolt of AD 6-9 that the Romans were preparing a campaign against preparing a campaign against King Maroboduus. The person didn't feel like looking up the spelling. I did, and then hashed the pronunciation. And the Marcomanni. It is said he had an army of 74,000, 70,000 infantry and 4,000 cavalry. What do we think the outcome would have been of that war campaign? And would he have stood a chance resisting a Roman campaign? That's from Chris. Thank you, Chris. Well, the interesting thing there, of course, is that at that point in time, you've got just before the Cherusci fight and destroy three legions in the Teutoburg forest. And what you've got is, of course, a whole set of evidence that we have of Germanic tribes fighting amongst themselves and fighting one another. And so, you know, soon they're going to turn on one another and fight each other, the Marcomanni and the Cherusci and the other tribes. So the best bet we've got of looking at that as a campaign that could have happened is that when Marcus Aurelius is fighting the Germanic wars during the 160s to the 180s in his reign, it's indeed against the Marcomanni, the Quadi, and the Isagyges, the three tribes, both Germanic and Sarmatian. And that absorbs a huge amount of resources. It's not straightforward. There are defeats inflicted on the Romans in that campaign on several occasions. And so it takes quite some time, as anyone who's seen the movie of Gladiator would know, of course, or indeed Fall of the Roman Empire, because that's the context at the beginning of the films, is the Germanic Wars of Marcus Aurelius. And so the answer to the question basically is that if the army under Marcus Aurelius had such a hard time fighting the Marcomanni in the 160s AD, chances are that the armies in 9 AD, 6 to 9 AD, would have had an equally hard time, if not harder time, fighting against the Marcomanni in that period. I mean, the numbers obviously are problematic with any ancient campaign. Whenever it comes to barbarians, tends to be that their numbers are exaggerated. We don't know whether the 70,000 is a number of the tribe or whether it's the number of warriors. And we've sort of got some parallels with later phases of Roman history where we get given a number, for instance, for the Gothic invasions over the Rhine over the Danube in 376 AD. We get 200,000 as a number given to us by one of our sources, Eunapius. And most people would say that that 200,000 is the total number of the tribe. So therefore, immediately divide by half and probably by a few more. So you're tending to have 50 to 60,000 warriors. So if you do the same thing to the Marcomanni and 70,000 is a tribal number, then you're halving it and taking a few off. So you're looking at 30,000, maybe plus 4,000 cavalry, so 34,000. And therefore you're looking at a Roman force of the equivalent of three legions plus auxiliaries or six legions. So those sorts of amounts of troops are indeed what starts to be used against the Marcomanni later in the second century AD. So it's not so much a matter of the Romans couldn't muster that amount of forces to fight against the Marcomanni. It's just that to do so would have absorbed and sucked a lot of resources for a lot longer than Rome probably had to deal with. Now, the other thing, of course, is that until the Teutoburg forest disaster in 9 AD, what you've got, or the Varian disaster, I don't need to say that it's Teutoburg necessarily, is, of course, that the Romans are pushing their boundary north of the Rhine towards the Elbe River, and it's the Varian disaster that stops that forward press, even though there are later campaigns over the Rhine. So the chances are that despite the fact that it probably would have led to an immense amount of difficult campaigning that would have taken quite some time to defeat and eventually subdue the Marcomanni, it was something that the Romans were willing to undertake at that point in time, and only really stepped away from it when they lost three legions. So you could argue that they would have lost legions fighting the Marcomanni, but we don't know. You could argue that, you know, something else would have happened. Of course, one of the other things that the Romans loved to do was to use the Germanic tribes against one another. So you could have easily had them allied with a particular tribe to fight against another tribe, and so therefore take advantage of internal politics in Germanic tribes, and Bob's your uncle, for lack of a better term. So I think that had the Varian disaster not occurred and had the Illyrian revolt not occurred, you probably would have had substantial campaigning over the Rhine frontier in that period. Whether it would have been any more successful than the Varian expedition, we can't say. But I think that the parallels that you get under Marcus Aurelius show that it would have been difficult campaigning. The territory would have been difficult. Even if the numbers are exaggerated, one of the things you get in the Marcus Aurelius campaigns is the fact that the Germanic tribesmen are able to surround the legions, and you know, you have the miracle of the rain and several other things which sort of save the Roman legions from destruction. And the other thing that seems apparent, though, is also that the Germanic tribes are willing to fight at non-seasonal warfare times. So one of the famous battles in Marcus Aurelius' time is the battle on a frozen river, and the legionaries stand on their shields or put one foot on their shields to give themselves a firm footing. And so what that suggests, of course, is that these are battles much, much later in the year than would be normal for a campaigning season. And that's part of the problem with campaigning against Germanic tribes in their own territory, is that rather than it being a summer, and into the autumn, you're almost dealing with, you're going to need to fight these people whenever they choose to fight you. And so, you know, winter campaigning and, early spring campaigning is going to have to occur. And therefore the legionary bases on the frontier aren't safe, because one of the things that's ever present with the Germanic tribes all the way through to the fall of the Roman Empire is that they will take the opportunity to cross the Rhine and ravage, invade, plunder, destroy, kill within the Roman provinces. And so that whole issue is a long-standing one for the Roman Empire, and one they never solve. One of the things about the population pressures that we have some understanding of, and it's something that is used to explain Germanic migrations going back to the Chatti and the Cimbri and the Teutones. So the Cimbri and the Teutones in the late 2nd century BC, the Chatti and other Germanic tribes, is that there must be some kind of pressure on them further east, and that, you know, eventually ends up being that the Huns are putting pressure on tribes from the Far East in their origins, probably in somewhere in Mongolia, and they're pushing them east westwards, which then pushes the next set of people east, westwards. And so you get all these sort of succession of Germanic peoples seeking to settle within the Roman Empire, crossing the Rhine, plundering, and all sorts of things like that. So eventually you get this idea that these Germanic tribes will become like a buffer zone on, you know, either on the far side of the Danube and the Rhine or on the near side of the Danube and the Rhine, in what becomes Moesia and Thrace and Scythia. So there's all sorts of issues there, but that, of course, ties into the idea that the Romans would be willing to use Germanic tribesmen against their fellow Germanic tribesmen. So all of that is a very complicated picture without a lot of contemporary evidence and really culled from the history of Roman-Germanic relations right through until the fall of Rome in the 5th century. So my short answer is that it would have probably gone ahead if the Romans hadn't have lost at with Varus, but it would have been hard campaigning just like it was in the 2nd century AD, and the Romans would have just forged ahead and only would have stopped if they had a disaster. And of course, they did have a disaster before they even started, so they didn't even start.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.